Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on 4th-and-1.
So, anyways, with that, time jerks.
Welcome to 4th-and-1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, we finally made it. This is the first official training camp edition of the 4th-and-1 podcast for 2021. Do you have something special planned today? I saw you wore a special shirt for the Zoom.
No, it's just a shirt in the rotation. So there's nothing special about that there, Todd.
No? Okay. I thought it was like, you know, in celebration of the Ted Lasso coming out and, you know, and barbecue in Kansas City. Okay. Never mind.
I enjoy both, but it's a part of the rotation today.
So for those who don't, Nick, you guys probably can't see on the podcast. He's wearing one of those Joe Arthur.
Yes, no, nobody can see while they're driving in their cars or they're listening to it right now. There's no video of this. So as astute as always, Todd, you were crushing it in the understanding of how podcasts work.
Be like, I'm still learning, Nick. I'm still learning. How long have we been doing this?
I don't know, but I'm rooting you on to be able to get that to figure out that whole landscape someday.
Right. Well, maybe next year. That's my plan for next offseason.
We all gonna have goals, man.
Figure out how podcasts work. Hey, we already have heard from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Andy Reid addressed a variety of topics, including the vaccination rates for the Kansas City Chiefs franchise, which is over 90%. Sounds like they're not in too much danger of running afoul of any NFL protocol, since most of the team's going to be vaccinated and all the staff is. I thought that one of the more interesting things that he talked about, though, was Frank Clark. And basically he said, we got to wait till this, you know, the situation plays out. Of course, Frank Clark being arrested twice during the offseason, but he made it pretty clear that bringing Alex Okafor back was as much about a Frank Clark insurance policy for the 2021 season as anything else. So, do you like the move by the Chiefs? We talked in recent weeks about the fact they may need to do that and that they may have needed to do that anyway. You okay with them bringing Okafor back?
I mean, I get it. He's a guy who knows the scheme. He knows the system. They can use him as a pass rusher. I don't think he's a very good run defender, and he was kind of a point of weakness whenever they used him, whenever he was healthy, on top of the injuries that he had with I believe the hamstring and the pec, among other things. He knows the scheme, he knows the system, he can rotate in, but if you're expecting him to be the difference maker, that's not what that's going to be. I mean, the signing happened just a day after Melvin Ingram went to the Steelers, so I'm really interested to see what's going to happen with Chandler Jones and the Cardinals now that it's finally been leaked out that he asked for a trade in the offseason. So I'm kind of curious what the asking price would be for that. And I'm kind of curious what will end up happening there in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to figure based on injury history and declining production and then the off the field stuff. Frank Clark's going to be a candidate, I would think, for the Chiefs to move on from him during the off season, free up some money against the cap. And, obviously, they're going to need to replace that position and they're going to have some money to do it with. So if you're Brett Veach, like, what are you willing to give up in a situation like that for a guy?
Well, I mean, the contract's going to be the biggest problem in that regard, because I know he's 31 years old. He's going to be due about 15.5. And so you have to do a new contract on that. And you'd be giving him a new contract at the time when he's going to be. You're trying to give him a contract over 2 to 3. So at that point, you're paying for a guy at the age of 31, 32, 33. So I don't know what the, I'm sure the Cardinals are going to ask for something ridiculous, even if they shop him on the market, but I don't see the value of giving anything over a 3. Third round pick in that regard, but I'm sure I would not surprise me one bit if the Cardinals were asking for more than that.
Yeah, and it almost feels like the Julio Jones situation a little bit to me, in that if you pick him up, you're probably paying for past production more than current production, which, you know, obviously that's not the goal. You want to pay guys, you know, if you're Brett Veach, you want to find a way to pay guys what they're worth in their prime and not be overpaying for what they did in the past. I mean, the Chiefs have gotten in trouble with that in past regimes. I mean, if you think about the Justin Houston contract, the Eric Berry contract, things like that, where they were overpaying for a declining player, you know, because they waited a little bit too long to jump into those waters. So it's hard for me to see the Chiefs making a big splash move like that, barring an injury at this point in the game, don't you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think they'll see over the next couple of days or a couple of weeks how their pass rush does between now and that first preseason game, and then they'll probably have to start deciding if they need to start finding an additional option out on the market or a player who may be getting cut from another team's 53 at the end of the preseason. So, I mean, we'll see what ends up happening.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Reid also pointed out, as he has a couple times, that, you know, they're moving Chris Jones out to defensive end some, and that's going to help shore that up. And it's all because of the signing of Jerron Reed, you know, providing that flexibility along the defensive line. So it sounds like they're comfortable now that they've got their insurance policy in place with Alex Okafor. And like I said, you and I had talked about they needed at least a body and a rotational guy in there, probably, especially given the Frank Clark situation. So good to see the Chiefs went out and addressed that. But I know you went up to camp for the first day of, you know, with after quarterbacks and rookies reported. I hear that there's a fellow named Patrick Mahomes who still does Patrick Mahomes things. Can you confirm that report?
Yeah, no, I mean, Patrick looked good out there. I mean, you don't see any ill effect from his foot. So, I mean, there's no issue there. I mean, he looks like the Patrick Mahomes of old, and he was out there making some playful throws. And, I mean, he had really good touch, and he looked good in 7-on-7 on his end. He wasn't throwing to his normal cast of receivers. So, I mean, in terms of timing and things of that nature, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't smooth sailing in that regard. It was good on his part. He did perfectly fine. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see as the week advances and when fans are able to go out to training camp, kind of watch them ramp it up from that point on. That's whenever my antennas will perk up and I'll be rather intrigued.
Mahomes was asked about, you know, his availability when he reported to camp on Friday and said that he felt fine. It was just like, you know, they work on mobility every year, you know. His trainer, Bobby Stroop, who he'd worked with, you know, is moved to Kansas City or is moving his family to Kansas City so he can spend more time with them. So that, you know, that should also help, you know, make sure Patrick gets as much time as he needs with a guy that he's come to trust to help take care of his body. So at this point, I mean, obviously you don't want to put Patrick Mahomes in any unnecessarily risky situations, but seems like he should be full go for the preseason. Would you play him in any of these preseason games beyond maybe a series here or there?
I mean, a couple series I don't think is out of the question, just enough to where he gets in a rhythm and the offense kind of gets in a rhythm and the O-line gets used to his sets in that regard with that starting offensive line. But would I leave him in for half of a game or three-fourths of a game? No, I would not. A couple series, we're good.
It'll be interesting because I think that the way teams handle preseason games, especially with only three of them now, is going to change. I mean, it used to be, you know, you would have guys play a full half and into the second half and that third game and stuff like that. I'm not sure you're going to see teams take those risks anymore. I think the days of guys playing in preseason games, the elite star type guys are beyond a series or two, like you said, is probably done. Anybody else stand out to you up at camp? I mean, look, guys aren't in pads. You don't have the veterans there, so you're not going good against good, right? You're not going against the veterans who've been in the league for a while quite yet, that kind of thing. But still, I mean, it's a chance for guys to impress. Anytime you're on the field in training camp, it's a chance for guys to impress. Who impressed the Nick Jacobs at Saturday's first camp for rookies and quarterbacks?
The way you sarcastically said that is hurtful.
That was not, there was no sarcasm there at all.
That was hurtful. That was very hurtful. I really like what Chris Fink did, the wide receiver from Notre Dame. I thought, well, some of the work I saw him do, I was impressed by. I liked his acceleration. I liked his, the way he tracked and found the ball and just kind of his balance and body control and the way he kind of tapped his toes in on a couple throws there in the red zone and 7-on-7. I enjoyed that. And that's a guy I'm definitely going to keep an eye on. I know somebody that kind of got a lot of targets that caught people's attention was Jody Fortson. So it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do in the weeks ahead and the position that he plays. I'm not sure how in depth I can go in on that one right now, but when things open to the public, I'll go a little bit more in depth on that one. But I could tell he was a little wore out yesterday, as was anybody who was in that heat. I don't know how those guys got through some of the heat on Saturday that they did, but props to them, because the Saturday heat there it reminded me so much of the Todd Haley era of training camp when they would have practice from like 2 to 5:30 in July and August in that Kansas, Missouri type of heat during the summer, just the brutal humidity and the upper 90s.
It's not the heat, it's the humidity that gets you, Nick.
Well, for me, it was all of it above. Okay. I'm out of shape, Todd. Shocker. I have respect for those guys and what they do and the conditioning that they have to do just to be able to stay through that. I know it was a struggle for me when I was a kid in high school weighing 250 practicing and heat and humidity. So for them to be professionals and doing it at an upper echelon level, it's never going to be lost on me. But another guy that I enjoyed whenever I was getting a chance to look at him was Nick Bolton. I liked some of his drops and some of his in dropping in the zones. I was impressed with the athletic ability there. I thought he showed some improvement from what I saw on college tape. So that's something I'm kind of curious to see whenever the Travis Kelce's and the Tyreek Hills come along, if he still is able to be at that level or where he'll be at during that time. But I mean, those were two guys that kind of jumped out to me personally. And I mean, obviously I was happy to see Mahomes look as good as he did. So like I said, they're not in pads. They don't have contact yet. There was only 28 players out there. So, I mean, it's not, you know, until you have the full 90 complement and they're doing team drills or 9-on-7s. And it's just, those are the ones that kind of give you a lot of what you want to see, or the one-on-one wide receiver versus DB drills. Those are kind of the ones that kind of that get you good indicators of how things are, how guys are doing on the field and how they stack up.
Jody Fortson's a guy whose name's come up at training camp before. And for those who didn't pick up what Nick was implying, he's 6'6", 230 pounds, and he's wearing number 88 right now. So if you can draw any conclusions from that, then congratulations.
I have no comment at this time. Thank you.
Just think about who else has worn 88 for the Chiefs. That's all I'm saying.
Ross Travis.
Nailed it. Yeah. So, all right. Veterans report on Monday. Later in the week, they'll get in pads. That's when you'll really start to get a sense of where the Chiefs are at, right?
Yes, I'm waiting for it. That's my day. That's my special day. That's as close to draft and Christmas as it gets, is when the pads come on and it's team drills and we see some blitzes and we see some hits. That's what I'm looking for, Todd. Are you ready for practice day?
Yes, as long as they don't hit Patrick Mahomes, I'm fine with it.
No, you don't hit the guys that are the quarterbacks. That's the number one rule that you always learn.
Can you imagine? Josh Kando comes around the end.
Don't even speak it into existence, Todd.
How quickly would he be cut? So, all right. Well, hey.
Josh, I apologize to you and your family for listening right now.
It could be anybody. Todd, that was just the first rookie D end I thought of.
Todd's statements do not reflect myself or KSHB 41 at this time.
All right. So here we are. The candle has been lit on training camp.
That's right. Lighting candles everywhere, Todd. Let's do it.
What, if anything, are you looking, other than them getting in pads, what, if anything, are you looking forward to this week? And how much, I mean, safe to say it's still too early to draw any definitive conclusions based on how the team looks week one of training camp.
No, I'm going to draw all the conclusions possible on Friday and Saturday, and I'm going to ride those into the year.
So if Creed Humphrey doesn't look great in his first camp against, you know, against Jerron Reed, then we're done with him?
No, I'm just going to pretend I never saw it. I'm kidding. No, it's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be fun to watch that and check that out, and hopefully be able to tweet some things. We'll see. That'll depend on what I'm shooting at that time, if I'll be able to or not. Gonna be rather busy. But no, I mean, it's this is kind of the week where you get to see the guys amped up, you get to see them at their best. You kind of, especially when the pads come on, there's just as our dear friend Therese would say, there's gonna be a lot of juice out there. Like that's just, people are gonna be amped up, people are gonna be revved up for it. So that,
well, and they're gonna be as fresh and healthy as they will be at any point.
Correct. And everybody's trying to prove
it's all downhill from here.
Glass half empty with Todd, but I mean, yes, they are certainly at their peak in terms of physical freshness. Yes. But yeah, no, it'll be fun to watch. And I'm really curious to see what the O-line does. I'm really curious to see what Trey Smith does. He was, I think he's going to be immediate favorite if he talks like that on a regular basis at press conferences. I expect him to get a lot of media requests to be able to chat, because that guy's got the mentality that you want. An offensive lineman wants to go out there and bury people for fun, for work, you name it. So I enjoyed his press conference.
Yeah, and look, I think one of the keys for the Chiefs is going to be getting the offensive line set and allowing those guys to get reps and work together, or, you know, as soon as possible in practice, whoever your starting five are going to be, because there's a lot of move, you know, they rebuilt the team in the offseason. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of things you've got to be able to do kind of in unison as an offensive line. So the more time you can identify who your starting group is going to be and give those guys a chance to work next to each other, I think the better off the Chiefs will be. That'll allow them to hit the ground running against the Browns when September rolls around.
I just want to know, is it Friday or Saturday yet? That's where my mind's going to be at all week long. All week long.
I'm always looking forward to Friday too. So
completely different reasons, Todd, but yes.
Fair. Yes. No, probably fair. So, all right. Hey, anything else you want to add?
I don't know. I honestly don't know anymore. If you have questions, I will answer them. But otherwise, I'm just looking forward ahead to Friday and Saturday. I'm wishing the week away for those moments.
I got nothing else to add. I mean, look, it's training camp. It's early. I'm sure more things will come up during the course of this week, and I'll have more questions for you next weekend.
I hope they're good questions, because I really don't like terrible questions.
Let's face it. They'll probably be mediocre questions, but, you know.
Look at you.
But your responses can elevate them, because you are the Nick Jacobs.
Dude, stop. Stop saying that. That's not cool.
Like, I tried it for one podcast. It sounds like it's not going to catch on.
Did you tell? I'm surprised you didn't tell people about us being twinsies this week.
That's true. Yeah. No, I had to come back in the office, like full time for the first time this week. So
I wouldn't call it full time. You were in like one day
with my fancy standing desk, that you put on social media. But yes,
Was that negotiated in your 4th-and-1 contract for that desk?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's my writer. I'm big on writers.
You're what?
So, writers, like contract writers.
I'm sorry, I don't have a fancy contract. We need words.
Well, you got to get better representation. You know, I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, no. So we both wore our All Juice team shirts on Thursday. I really appreciate, you know, my wife was grateful that you paused to get a picture to show us as twinsies.
That is completely inaccurate.
That's right. No, my wife was disappointed that you wouldn't take a picture.
No, you took the picture. I was just unaware of the time.
Well, yeah, no, so I took a picture of you. She wanted one of us together as twinsies, though.
No, there was technically, I mean, what you did is called, I don't know if it's a violation of privacy or copyright infringement.
It's neither of those things. I took a picture in a semi-public setting. It's perfectly fine.
There will be attorneys.
All right. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to have to put it on social media now.
That's how you make a situation worse, Todd.
Right. like, so no, but we'll see. Yeah. So, we'll see. I'll probably be back in, Monday, and so on this week. So, you'll be seeing more of me, Nick. I apologize in advance.
It's only if I want to. I know ways to avoid walking by your desk.
Fair point. So, all right. Well, hey, I got nothing else to add. And I'm eagerly awaiting my children's return after a week away in New York. So I'm going to let you go, and we're going to call it good for this week's podcast. What do you think of that?
All I know is I can't wait for Friday and Saturday.
Same. I get it. It's in a way that's when the season really starts. You know, the players show. I mean, you know, that's when the team really starts to come together. So you're going to be up there, I assume, Friday and Saturday for the first couple of days in pads, right?
That's the plan.
All right.
And I think they'll be in pads. And I'm not 100% sure, because I know it's an acclimation period. They'll just depend on what the rules are.
Yeah. I
can't remember definitively if they changed them.
Well, you have fun. I hope you like treat yourself, you know, on those days, you know, buy yourself something nice or take yourself out to a nice dinner.
I just feel like there's going to be people in the media tent and also fans on the hill that are going to be asking, why is that man up there screaming in the tent?
it'll be okay. It'll be okay. It'll be screams of joy, right?
Oh yeah, no, it'll be nothing but pure happiness. But I mean, still, I feel like people are gonna be like, why is that guy up there screaming? Why? So if you're listening to this podcast and you hear a man screaming at not anything inappropriate, but just really, really excited, then you'll know it'll be me. Come by and, you know, say hi from a socially safe distance or something.
Right, right.
Oh, and by the way, if you're gonna be up at training camp, they have built a hill on the opposite side. If you've been to training camp before, they built a hill on the other end so fans can sit there and have a really good vantage point on opposite end zones. So it's really cool what they did. So if you're going to be up there, that you have two different hills you can sit on now for that type of stuff.
Right on. All right. Well, hey, until next week when Nick breaks down more about what he likes from training camp and we get to hear him giggle gleefully. Take care, kids.
That's what I'm talking about.